Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the warfare.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary Chiefs tight end, Jason Dunn. JD, how are you doing, brother?
What's going on, man? How you been? How you doing, Marcus? Doing all right?
I can't complain, man. How are you feeling? I know you're battling a little bit with a little bit of a cold or a little flu action. I hope you're doing better.
I'm on the mend. I am battling the flu. It's confirmed, so I'm giving me a little tea.
Okay.
But I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine, actually. So, doesn't have a fever, doesn't really have a cold or anything like that. So, hopefully it's just one of those mild cases, comes through real quick. I'm somewhat of a fast healer anyway. So, you know, I got that Wolverine blood in me, I think.
Yes, sir. Yes, you do.
Yeah. What about yourself, man? How's it going?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Just got back from the gym. I'm just really excited to get into today's episode. I do want to give a shout out to our viewers. Sunday or Monday's game, that was the most viewed episode in Chief Concerns history. This is going back for the beginning of our time. Most viewed episode, I think we had around like 5,000 to 6,000 views on that episode alone. You know, our episodes can be lengthy. I think it was about 45 minutes long. About 5,000 views on that episode. We've had an influx of new subscribers over the last few days, so really excited to. If you're a first time viewer of our live stream, hey, well, welcome to Chief Concerns, baby. We're gonna be serving you up some good takes here. But yeah, I just want to give a shout out to everybody, and obviously, of course, our viewers who are here with us all the time, giving you guys a shout out as well. I see Kathy in here and a bunch of other people, our usual suspects. But yeah, I just want to give a shout out to everybody for making this week a historic week in the Chief Concerns channel world.
Shoot, man, we appreciate the love. And look, we love you back. Believe me, I mean, we're doing all of this, man, because you all, we like talking ball, but we love seeing the fans talking to them about ball. And I think right now, this is a kind of a pivotal time because there are people on different sides of the fence, right? And I think it was one of the things I wanted to talk about and kind of address a little bit tonight, Marcus, is like, what is everybody feeling? Where is everybody at in this whole mix of, you know, are we a playoff team, not a playoff team? We don't think we're going to make it. I heard some people say they're already moving on to the next season. Which is crazy to me, but hey, look, everybody has, you know, their own opinion about what they want to do, how they want to do it. Myself, me being a football player and guys that I play with, I know there's no quit attitude. The season is not over. There's no reason to talk like it is. I don't see anybody as far as in the NFL that to me seems unbeatable. There's no one at all. Nope. And so I think we're still in this hunt just like anybody else. That's the reality of it. That's the reality. And so if you don't believe it, then you are sadly mistaken. And so If you don't understand that, and you need to pull your pom-poms up and come back and start, you know, supporting the Chiefs like you were, you know, week one to week 10 or whatever it may be. Okay. Because these guys are still in this thing. They are. Now, obviously, things hadn't been looking as crisp as we want them to offensively. It was a terrible showing this past week, and we know that. We talked about that. We're going to talk about that a little bit more probably today. But some of the woes that have been just that we've been dealing with offensively. And, you know, there's been a number of things just kind of talking about it glaringly, whether it be where we're just not moving the ball with consistency, not necessarily in a rhythm, whether it be sometimes our offensive line play is not up to par. We can always, we've been on the wide receivers all year as far as them knowing what to do, get into the spacing. It's been turnovers and penalties. That's what this year has been offensively. And it has even affected PM15. When PM15 is not playing up to par, what he usually plays. And so it's kind of glaring. We see that. But, hey, look, have no fear. We talked about it. The man wears a cape for a reason. He's one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the league. I think he's the best quarterback in the league. I think a lot of people agree with me. Even the people that don't agree with me, they still believe he's the best quarterback in the league. Okay. Yep. They're just not going to say it, right? They ain't going to say that.
They get more clicks being the opposite of it.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, controversy sells, right? That's how it works. But I don't count those guys out, and I never will. When you have two of the best players to ever play a game in NFL, and without a doubt right now, there's no reason you should count them out ever, ever. Just got to get the guys around them, start playing at a high level. That's what it takes. And sometimes it's got to have to go through them to get those guys going. And I know we kind of try to compare last year about, you know, who we had on the squad, who we had in the coaching, you know, on the sideline, helping guys out, different positions. But right now we have what we have. We do. We have it as far as coaching wise. We have it as far as wide receiver wise. We have it right now as far as running back, O-line. This is the team that we've got. Okay. Now, obviously, guys are going to start getting better. Guys are going to start coming back. I see Joseph Brandon Williams over talking about Mecole Hardman. I definitely believe Mecole will come back. He'll be able to help us out without a doubt. So I hope that it comes to fruition. But to be honest with you, I think these guys right here understand it's up to them. They understand it's up to them. So they don't want to put it on anybody else. They don't want to use excuses. They're talking about trying to right the ship right now with what they have in the room. Okay. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Go for KC Forever said, I'm upset with the coaching staff. I think we get our heads out of what your rear ends. We shouldn't have lost any of the games. They need to show me something. Missouri Motto, I think they can do it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree with you. The coaching staff.
I was going to say, what do you think about this question here? I mean, we're going to get into Mahomes and the check down stuff. There's a couple things that have come out today that we're going to talk about. Flapjack City's comment here. Appreciate you, Flapjack City, for the support of the channel. But sure. He talks about Mahomes gun shy. Mahomes gets the credit for the wins. The losses should be as equal. After all, he's making 20% of the team's salary. Mahomes should get 57% of the blame. what do you think about that one?
He's working the math, huh?
Yeah.
That's
way above my head.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. But, hey, the thing is, the blame goes around. Some of it is in Patrick's hands. Some of it is part of the reason we haven't been doing so well is Patrick has some of the blame, and he will tell you that. I don't think that's something that is conjecture. I don't think it's something that is something that should be debatable, especially when he's telling you that he's part of the problem. He could get better, maybe with his footwork, setting his feet. I know somebody was talking about, oh, Patrick doesn't even look like he has anything on the football. I'm like, man, he wasn't even setting his feet. He's throwing off one foot. But, you know, it's almost everything else they want it to be. Now he's losing strength in his throwing arm. Come on, man. Yeah, now he don't have any oomph behind it, no power behind the pass. he looked like he just floated out there. It looked like he's losing a little bit of, you know, velocity. Crazy, unheard of.
Yeah, well, I heard that this week. It was someone was like, I think it was actually today. Someone was like, that's the elephant in the room. No one wants to address Mahomes' arm. Just doesn't look the same. I've seen some people say he's got a little middle of a noodle arm or something like that. But yeah, I mean, if you want, I mean, there's certain games. I mean, he's chucked it. I mean, we haven't connected on the deep ball as much as we usually have, but like you still see there's power behind that arm. So like there, he still has a cannon. So people questioning this, acting like he's like a 35-year-old quarterback who's losing a step. He's 28. I know it feels like he's been around a really long time because he plays till March every year, but yeah. This guy's only 28. So I think people need to settle down a little bit.
Yeah, I guess it feels like he's been playing for a long time, as many games as he's won and kicked that many butts and set so many records. I can agree. Yeah. I can agree with that. but right there, KC said we definitely miss EB. So it's one of the things I wanted to address too. Okay, shout out to people that have been talking about EB. About his presence is being needed. They even was talking about, can we get EB back to coach during the playoffs? And we were talking about this, Marcus. We were talking about it online. We were talking about it on Twitter, right?
It's a topic tonight for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's the thing. And I do believe it is a rule. It's a rule in the NFL. That if a coach is signed with a team contractually for the year, he has to play with that team for the entire year, unless he gets fired during the season. Right, get released from that contract. Okay, I don't see any reason why Washington would do it. I don't see why they would do it at the end. EB doesn't. He hasn't done anything to see him being fired.
But if so, that's where it comes in. So the obviously we're talking about the PFT article that came out yesterday, where Mike Flurry kind of mentioned that in the article. I actually have it here, so I'll pull it up here so we can all look at it together. Okay. So sorry, let me go to this. Okay. So the obviously article, the Chiefs miss Eric Bieniemy. If Washington cleans house after week 18, could Bieniemy be back in KC for the playoffs? And then the one part in the article where he kind of mentions this, he says first the Commanders would have to fire EB if and when they move on from Coach Ron Rivera. The Commanders could choose to hold other members of the staff in place until the next coach decides whether to keep him. If that doesn't happen, and if Bieniemy is relieved of his duties, he'd be free and clear to join any other team for the playoff run. So I guess the question here is, JD, Week 18 ends, and there's some rumblings. I live in the D.C. area of people saying Rivera could be fired as early as this weekend after they get shellacked by the Niners. It could be just one of those things. They get shellacked. It's an embarrassing loss at home. He could be fired. And then you wait. Whoever's the interim head coach, whether it's EB or, you know, whoever their acting D.C. is, they step in as the head coach for the last week of the season. Last week of the season ends. Do they really – when the season's over – is he still – because he's going to be interviewing for other jobs. I mean, where does his contract lie at that point as far as being a – once the head coach is gone, season ends, then interviews begin as far as the next coaching staff. So I guess, is he technically a free agent once the season's over?
See, and I believe that this is kind of like the on the cusp of things, all right? I don't know as far as the wording, how it goes fully. I had to check into it even more. But to me, if you make it all 18 games, right, I think that's saying, okay, you finished 18 games. That includes postseason play, all right? So even if you get fired after the season, you finished the contract for the entire year, right? You've fulfilled your contract for the entire year. That 18th game or the 18th week is saying committed for the entire year to that team. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
Because if that's not the case, then every guy that gets fired, and I say maybe during the season, if it's happened during the season, I think you become kind of a free agent. That's what I'm thinking. I'm believing, right? Because if not, what's stopping other teams? Let's just say, and I made this point last night. What's stopping from other teams saying, "Look, let's say a coach came from a great team. We know they're not making the playoffs, but we can utilize what he has at the end of, you know, for the playoffs. Let's not, why don't we just get him and just employ him for, or have him being a consultant for these next 4 weeks, right? It's almost like they would be mercenaries. It's almost like you're getting double pay in a sense. Coaches could kind of take care of their guys the way they want to. So I think the whole year contractually would have to, that would be applied, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm not sure about that, but I think that's the way it works. Because then, like I said, what stops somebody from bringing somebody in each time? And I think it goes into like the tampering part of it, okay? Because that's part of like what you do. You don't want to talk to somebody before the hand. Right. He gets fired. Is that necessarily tampering? So I'm not quite sure. But that is something we had to delve into a little bit more. Got my boy here, Shane Balcom. Shane, what's up, brother? What up, done? Last time I watched this, y'all talked about the rivalry with the Raiders. Just damn, I hate to see them lose to the Raiders. What do you need to do right now? What is the focus? It's a great question. Great question, my brother. Great question. You know how it is, Shane. This guy played with it in EKU, college teammate.
There you go.
Yeah. Good friend, man. Good brother. Shane, I think one of the things that you have to do, no doubt about it, is you got to bring everybody back in the building. You got to bring them back in the room. And you almost have to have that shut door meeting where it's just only players. Okay. This is the whole, you know, come to Jesus moment. And I'm saying this because me and my brother right here are brothers in Christ. But this is like the whole proverbial come to Jesus moment where you're actually talking to one another about things you want to do, what you want to accomplish. And you're trying to find out who is all committed into some of these things. So sometimes it's hard conversations. That's part of the focus. That's the focus, though. And then it's just holding each other accountable, right? Are you dedicated? Are we doing everything we need to do to move this forward? All right. Have you given up? Do you feel like there's no hope? And sometimes those things don't really happen in a room. The team that's been in two Super Bowls, and you don't really have that question of dedication. You just don't. And I've said this before, it's just not in their DNA to quit. As football players, you just don't do it. And you're talking about a solid team. We ain't talking about a 6-11. We're not talking about a team like that, a 6-10 team. We're not fair. You know, we're talking about a legit Super Bowl contender. Let me say that one more time, okay? Because I don't think people realize that. And we want to get down on our Chiefs, a legit Super Bowl contender. Because when I look at the rankings, Marcus, I looked at the rankings, right? And I'm seeing the teams they got. We got Ravens, San Fran. Both those teams look beatable. We've seen them. Very good teams, okay? But they are beatable. They got losses, last I checked, right? I mean, nobody is perfect. Got losses. They start going in. They got the Lions. They got Philly. You know, they had a list of them. But I'm sitting there looking at, they had Miami. So I'm looking like, we beat them in a game with Philly. We was in a game with them, had them beat. This game, we didn't have this guy. We didn't have Pacheco. This game, we didn't have Chris Jones. We didn't have Travis Kelce. So I'm going through all the losses that we have. And I'm sitting there saying, every game that we played, we was in the game, but we had beat these guys already. So this whole like give up on the season and what guys, you know, are not doing or you know, we should just move on. I think it's crazy to me. I do. I think it's crazy. But Shane, just going back to the whole focus thing, man, I think that's what you have to do, man. You just got to have a good moment where everybody's coming in and everybody understands what it is, what they need to do to win. So it takes a hard conversation. It takes a hard conversation. But yeah. But kind of let's go back to the EB thing a little bit more, Marcus. I know we was talking about that somewhat. Here's the thing. Here's another issue I have. I said I don't think it'd be prudent to do this. Even though we know EB, okay, we're very familiar with him, really good friends with EB. He's family. Would that upset some of the things that's been going on in the building? I don't know. Especially you've been at another team all season, doing it your way, the way you want to do things, and now you come back. It's going to be a little tough to kind of sit there and you know, in a position, possibly. Maybe we had to take a back seat, or you coming in, maybe calling plays. I don't know. I don't know how that dynamic will work. You know, will somebody else feel some type of way about it? I'm sure somebody feels some type of way. Maybe not getting the jobs done. That might be somebody crossing their arms, like, I'm not with this. Okay. Well, you ain't with it. You should have got your job done. That's the way it works.
I mean, Mahomes has made comments at the press conferences, like over the last few weeks, about how EB held everybody accountable, you know, made sure everyone did their jobs and stuff. So, like, I mean, yeah, Mahomes isn't taking subtle disses and subtle jabs at Nagy, but like, he's stating the facts of what EB did for the team and did for the skill players and the offense in general. So, like, I mean, I will say this though, and that's if EB. So obviously, going back to that, if EB is relieved of duty, so that after, you know, when a head coach is fired and the staff kind of, like, I think it's up to the team, can say they can relieve everybody of duties, and then EB can go back to be a consultant or whatever he wants to do if the Commanders should relieve him of duties when the season's over. So that's one part of it. But if he comes back, I don't think he'll be the play caller right away. Although I will say, that whole Patriots Eagles thing is kind of weird. Patricia with her DC, and all of a sudden midweek he just becomes the Eagles DC. That tells you that there's, I mean, the stuff like that can happen, I guess, during the year. You know, it's weird, but I guess it can happen. But we're
talking about that's in house though. That's people that are there on, you know, this on staff, right? That's what you're talking about, correct?
Well, as far as Patricia going from New England to Philadelphia.
No, I'm talking about in season. Like you said, Patricia just became the DC in Philly.
Yeah, he left the New England DC job to go be the Philly DC in the middle of the season. I think that's where it shows. Like, I think that's, like, for example, we're talking about situations that are more complicated. I think that's a more complicated situation than when the Commander season's over. There's only, what, that the seven teams in both conferences that make the playoffs. So, like, season's over, I'm going to be a consultant for a team I already know pre-existing relationship with.
Right, right.
Well, I think the one thing, if that were to happen, right, if that's signed on and the Commanders say, you know, out of goodwill, like, hey, we're going to interview you to be our head coach when the season's over. But, yeah, for right now we'll relieve you of your duty so you can go do that. Maybe compete for a championship. And I don't know. I think Josh Harris may want to have some kind of goodwill with the EB if they plan on interviewing him. Because I do think he'll get some looks this offseason, especially with the first half of the season, the way the Commanders' offense looked. Second half, they just kind of depleted, you know, the offense. Offensive line was pretty rough. Defense was rough. But my question is to you, as far as, obviously, we know what he brings to Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I think as far as, like, you know, he's had, for whatever reason, he's had trouble getting a head coaching job. Let's say he comes and he's our consultant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, if it's not EB, if who knows, whoever it is, right? All of a sudden, the offense looks good again. And, like, even if it's not EB, but all of a sudden he joins the staff and, like, Chiefs look like the old Chiefs again for at least one game. You know, if we do make the Super Bowl, we do. If we don't, we win one or two games, the offense looks good again. I think that reflects heavily on him, whether it is him having to do with it at all. He comes in for a couple games. I think he could benefit from this the most of anyone, to be quite honest with you.
Look, okay. Sure. But that, to me, that wouldn't even be the point. The point is, EB, without a doubt, has done everything he possibly needed to do to become a head coach here in the NFL.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to do anything else. He doesn't have to put anything else on his resume to be considered for a head coaching job. Yeah. And I hate even, you know, having to talk about, well, he needs to do more, he needs to do this, or look good on him, another reflection. What more the man has to do? Like, honestly, seriously, for him to get a head coaching job. I mean, I think this is just kind of, it's atrocious that you don't have a guy like this who hadn't become a head coaching job. When you look at the guys that are head coaches in the NFL, completely ridiculous. It's crazy to me that EB has not got a head coaching job. So, yeah, I've said this, and really I'm in the whole camp of, I think it's a lateral move. I don't want EB coming back here unless it's in the capacity of a head coach or he's a contender as a head coach coming against the Chiefs. That's the only other way I want to see EB back at Arrowhead or GH Stadium or in the building. That's it. Other than that, EB, hey, man, hey, this is your time. He has every right to do what he needs to do. Matter of fact, I would say for EB's sake, he needs to go ahead and start doing his own path. I think it's the reason he took the job over to Washington. Okay. So I would say don't come back. This is they mess. Put it that way. Okay. Whatever the offense is that Nag, they dedicated to it, that let them deal with that. They made the mess. You ain't here to come clean it up. You're not supposed to be the savior or whatever. You're not here to do that. I wouldn't want him back to do that.
So okay? You're saying if he's relieved of duties when the season's over, you say still don't even come back to be a consultant for the team or whatever?
That's my opinion. No, not at all. These guys made it. Let them line it. Let them line it. Okay. I know guys would love to have you be back. It sounds great to have you be back on something like that. It'd be tough for the guys, like I said, who's in the building, who put this thing together. That's fine, whatever. But EB he's did his time here. He's got 2 Super Bowl rings because of that. Been to 3, okay, because of the things he's done. He don't need to do anymore. He needs to get another one on his own dime, the way he's doing it on his own road. Okay. That's what I would say. If he came to me and asked me my opinion, that's what I would give it. I'd be like, yeah, it sounds good. Why not? And then I'd be like, you know what? Hey, man, go on. Do your own path. How about that? You started it that way. Keep it going the same way. So that's how I feel about it. I don't like the lateral move at this moment. I get you want to help people out and stuff like that, man. But he's got to trench his own way, man. He's got to do it.
Yeah. And like I said, I do think he deserves a head. We've talked about this before on the show ad nauseum. I do think he deserves a head coaching job. It should have been the fact that Nagy was only an OC for like 1 or 2 seasons before he got the head coaching job in Chicago. This guy, EB, got 2 Super Bowls being in the same position that Nagy had. But I mean, I will say, I do think if he was relieved of duties to come back and be a consultant, and if any kind of success we have in this playoffs, it would finally, and ridiculous as it is, he finally get credit for what the offense looked like. Because we've seen this year what the offense looks like without him. He comes back and all of a sudden everything like it's magically appears again, and we're rocking again, and he's on our staff. I mean, I think it'd be great that he finally gets credit that he never really got. I'm talking for the masses. We gave him credit because we know what's going on. But as far as like the masses, I mean, what we're seeing right now, I mean, this is a good example of it, JD. This week, oh, the offense looks awful. It's Matt Nagy's fault. And the last few years, when it was EB was here, when the offense was bad, who's getting the blame? EB. Andy used to call the plays. Remember that whole thing?
When it looked good, it was Andy's calling the plays.
Yeah.
When it looked bad, EB, I could tell the difference. EB's calling the play, and now Andy's calling the play. You could tell the difference.
Yeah.
So, no. There's no need for him to come to deal with this. He had his own hands in what he needed to do at Washington.
Yep.
So no. HT Chiefs fan said Eagles brought in Fangio to play us in the Super Bowl last year. He was a consultant on the team though. Mm-hmm. So he was consulting all year and they just brought him on. Same thing as a consultant at the end of the year during that time. They kept it under wraps, but he was with the same team. So that's the thing about it. I don't even know if this can be done, Marcus. You know, we could talk about different scenarios, but I don't know how you can get past the rules. That I don't know. Like I said, we got to get into a more of a depth to ask a question. You know who would be good to ask it? Man, I mean, call Al or maybe one of the guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, PFT said, I mean, the only way we have it happen is he had to be relieved of his duties.
Got to be relieved.
And that essentially, like, man, you're gone. We got rid of Rivera. We're going to go and clean slate. We'll bring you in as an interview, but you're no longer a part of the staff as is. So I guess that would have to be the thing of, you know, you see it all the time when they fire the head coach, usually the rest of the staff goes and they can go wherever they want to go when the season's over. But I guess they have to fire him and relieve the whole staff of the duty. So it all is contingent on what the Commanders would do at that point.
Yeah. So that's what I said. I don't know if the language says all 18 games. Is that considered for even postseason play, or how that works,
or your season specifically, because teams can interview and do all they want to. Because I mean, you see it during. Yeah, I mean, actually, you think about it during playoffs, you see all the time. Like, remember during our playoff runs last year, people were trying to make a big deal about EB interviewing for other jobs during the playoffs. Oh man, he's not focused. He's not locked in. He's interviewing elsewhere. So I guess teams, if they're interviewing at that point, it's not tampering anymore because they're interviewing while our season, the playoffs are going on. So I think at that point.
But that was only for a head coaching job. I don't think you have any other. I don't think you could do that as assistant coach. I don't know. Those are rules I don't know too much about. I had to get into it.
The Patricia thing throws a whole wrench in everything I thought about this whole coaching move because that was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
but I stick with what I said, man. I don't want to see him back. You know, let these jokers, man. They made this mess. Okay, they put this thing together. Let them get them done. Let them fix it. They can call EB anytime and get on the phone if they need to get some information from him.
Yeah.
But yeah, somebody said who's gonna straighten that? John Clifford said that. JD, somebody needs to straighten that. Okay. Somebody does. Let the players police themselves. This is how we used to do it back in the day. Okay. The locker room will police itself. Period. Bottom line. We had to take a coach to do it. The reason EB's good for that. Because EB played in an era that the teammates policed themselves. The locker room policed itself. That's the way that works. So EB, that's what he has. He has that. That's his history. Okay? He comes from that type of school. So if guys are messing up, guys are going to get it straightened out. Guys are going to get it handled. And so, back in the day, man, jokers might get snatched up. That's the way it was. Okay? Different era now. It's different type of deal. Different type of deal. So hopefully we got some guys getting somebody's tail. Usually it might take an offensive lineman to do it or D lineman. True. If you want the bad guy, let it be Chris Jones. Let it be somebody like that. How about Pinnell with his big old arms? Let him come through swinging on some folks. So that's where I look at it. Let them police the locker room. Okay, because at this point, they like, look, coach is going to give us any play that we're supposed to run. We got to make it work. I don't care if it looks like boo-boo or not, okay, or the greatest play. We got to try to make that thing work, right? So it's their job to execute what the coaches are calling. But it's going to take the guys to do it, man. Pure and simple. It's going to take the guys to do it in the locker room. That's it. Not us out here in Twitter world or YouTube, this TV land, all this crying that we doing, praises and all that, none of that's going to get them jokers better or ain't going to get them worse. It's going to take everybody in there, in that room, and at 53, going to get it done. Pure and simple. That's it. Taylor Swift ain't the reason for it. She ain't the reason. Okay? Just like Britney wasn't the reason for any of those things. They tried to put it on her. He won 2 Super Bowls with her on his arm. Nope. Look, the guys in there is going to be able to do it. Period. So, yeah.
Right, Harold. They need to hire Dunn on the block, wide receiver coach. Hey, you know what? Yeah. It'd be great. We hired you weeks ago. I don't know if you'd accept it, but I mean, hey.
Give me two weeks.
Ooh, JD consultant. A little consultant action. Could come for 2 weeks.
That's man. Let me get in there for 2 weeks, man. Let me get him for 2 weeks. Dude, I love to come in and have a conversation with these guys to see what they're doing. Just get some understanding about some things, man. But I want to understand you. Okay. I want to understand where you're coming from. All right. And how can I get the best out of you is what I want to be able to do as a coach. That's what I'm able to do. But it's going to be real talk. It's going to be straight talk, man. It ain't no, hey, well, coach, I need, no. Listen, this is what the real deal is, okay? You want to be a professional? This is what it takes. You want to be great? This is what it takes, okay? So that's just how it should be approached anyway. Should always approach it that way. So.
Yeah, as far as the EB thing, the last thing I'll say on it, like I selfishly, I'd love to have EB in the room. Great coach. He brings a lot of a lot of things to the room. Not only everyone just always talks about his discipline and holding people accountable. He's more than just that, you know. And that's kind of one thing that kind of pisses me off the whole week. He'll hold people accountable. He'll get in their ass. Oh yeah, sure he will. But like that's not the only thing he brings. I mean, one of the best running backs in college football history. Okay, so like this guy has a lot of offense. Okay, the guy knows his offense. So like let's make sure we know that guy's one of the best running back coaches. I mean, what he did in Minnesota. Then what he did in Kansas City when Charles went down, we're like, who the heck is this Charkadrick West guy? Who's this Spencer Ware guy? Well, that RB's coach at the time, it was the RB's coach, Coach Bieniemy. This guy put all these guys up there and made them do their thing. So, like, he's more than just holding guys accountable. He's a good coach. So, obviously, selfishly, I'd love to have him back in the room, but you bring up some great points as far as the lateral moves. No need. Just go get ready for these interviews you're about to have this offseason with Chicago and all these other teams are going to be knocking on his door, I think.
No doubt. No doubt about it, man. Great guy, man. No EB. Good dude all the way. Good people, man. That's my brother. You know, we always get love when we see each other. I told you, man, we was up in Philly we're together, driving around, talking to him. EB, man, that's my boy.
He put you? Yeah, I remember one of the first conversations we had about EB. You said that he put you on one of that artist, AJ Plus.
Oh, yeah, I put him onto it.
Oh, you put him onto it.
A plus, yeah. Yeah, he came to me, JD, man, you put me on at A plus, man. We was bopping it one time. We was in the car. I'm like, yeah. He was like, yeah, I remember. I remember that, man. We was going.
That's funny. So,
yeah, he'd be good people. Good people.
So we got a comment from HD Cheese Fan. You cannot call yourself a professional if losing one coach causes you to not be able to do your job. Accountability of oneself makes a professional. That's good. That's wise words right there, JD. What do you think about that?
I agree to an extent because I believe that everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs an accountability partner sometimes. And even if you're a professional, you might possibly need it. And so you start looking at some of these guys that play at a high level. TB12, Tom Brady, he had his guy, okay? He had his dude to work the TB12. So sometimes great players, they need somebody accountable, okay? These things are – people just don't happen. These things about just wake up great and just do it alone. There's sometimes a motivator, somebody else can motivate you to get you to where you need to go. And sometimes we can hit, a ceiling, but you see somebody else that can see it in you. Like I was saying before, hey, you got 40 catches this year. You're an 80 catch guy. You're an 80 catch guy. That's the type of guy I would be. That's the type of coach I would be. I'm going to try to get it out of you. If I'm sitting there saying, like, look, man, don't set them on to 60. Let's go get 80 or 90 this year. Why aren't we doing it? Why aren't we doing it? And don't think you're going to keep doing the same thing you was doing and catching 60 balls. You're going to be doing something different with me to catch the 90. That's the way it's going to work, okay? We're going to work in practice. After practice, you're going to get tired of me. But guess what? Daggone, I'm going to get you right. I'm going to get you ready. I'm going to get you better, okay? That's my job as a coach. That's what I'm going to do, okay? Because the way I look at it, that's my calling card. I look at that, that's my job on the line. So somebody better be talking. I'm telling you, because at the end of the season, there's going to be a whole lot of doors shutting on some folks. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I tell you what. Let the Chiefs have the one and done. And you watch some heads start rolling.
Yeah.
You'll watch some changes.
I'll tell you what, with the way Pat has been not pouting, but with the way Pat has been looking after certain drives, drops, just things not clicking, I'll tell you what, they're going to overcorrect, just like they did after that Buccaneers Super Bowl. They overcorrected on that offensive line. They made sure that offensive line never had problems ever again for at least for a few years. We got another ring out of it. There's going to be a major overcorrection going on in that wide receiver room. We talked about D-Hop sweepstakes all offseason. Well, yeah. We might get D-Hop and then some this offseason as far as receivers. So I think they're going to overcorrect the heck out of that problem. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think the D-Hop thing has been gone and sailed for us.
Well, not D-Hop specifically, but that echelon.
Right. Now, I get it. We'll see.
We'll see. But hopefully
we'll see.
Hopefully that's a long time from now, that conversation.
Appreciate you. Go for KC forever. 10 bones. Appreciate you. Yeah. Get it started.
Get this shit straight,
let's
baby.
Let's go.
JD, so one of the other topics I want to talk to tonight, about tonight was the EPA stat that I saw. And everyone's kind of talking about this being the rock bottom for our offense, what we saw Monday. So I got a little red up here. So offensive performance has been under scrutiny all season. Came to a head Christmas. Obviously, everyone's been talking about it. I know a lot of people can't even sleep after that game on Monday. I hope not, but I've seen some people who said they've been drinking ever since Monday night. But according to the Ringer's Shale Kapadia, out of the 109 games Mahomes has played in the Chiefs, offensive EPA per drive versus the Raiders ranked 109th. So it was one of the worst games as far as EPA-wise. For those who don't know EPA, expected points added, commonly referred to as EPA, is a measure of how well a team performs relative to expectation. For example, if a team starts a drive on the 50-yard line, its expected points to start the drive would be about 2.5. So that's the EPA aspect of things. You had Jeff Schwartz, former Chiefs offensive tackle, who talked about doing a film review, and he said the inconsistency from the OL play was a big issue, but then when the OL would look good, you have guys running wrong routes and, you know, yep, kind of not being sharp in the route running. He also pointed out that Mahomes doesn't throw the ball to MVS, and there's times where MVS is open, he just doesn't throw it to him, and he said there's zero trust there, and it's a glaring problem. He also said there's times where he's not even looking Justin Watson's way, specifically after the Jack Jones interception. He went away from looking at Justin Watson after that. Obviously, Watson had a touchdown, but he said there's multiple times where Watson, he wasn't even looking, going for him when he was open. There's trust issues there. And then I have a little slideshow here for us to look at here. So that's the EPA tweet. The Jeff Schwartz tweet about the MVS. And then our guy Dante, who talked about the checkdown aspect, it needs to be more like Tom Brady and kind of be more mundane with it. And now that is where I want to talk to you about, JD. So you tweeted about this, what Dante said, you're in agreement with him. But Dante got a little flack from some people online about this quote here. And people were talking about, what do you mean check down? Because if you look at his chart from this past game, I mean, all he did was check down the ball. So okay. I want you to kind of get into that a little bit as far as what do you think about what Dante said? And what do you think about the counter that a lot of people were saying to what Dante said?
So let me address the first part, the EPA. Okay. At 109 games, Mahomes played in the Chiefs offensive EPA per drive versus Raiders ranked 109th. We hit it wrong. So, you know, these are one of the stats and these measurables all, you know, they come up, you know, in the course of a game. I don't even know how they got this now. Expected points added. Yeah. All right. Well, here's the way I look at it, and I went over the film a few times, and Schwartz was right. You go back to what he was saying, like it just seemed like there was a combination of things that everything, you know, whatever bad happened, end up happening, right? It's that's what it was. And so, and it's been like this all year. It's been like this all year. If a guy's not having a penalty, you're turning down, you're third and long or you're second and long, and you're trying to dig yourself out of a hole because of a holding penalty or whatever, or not lining up correctly. You're seeing things where guys are not getting open or they're not running the right route, and it looks like everybody's – Patrick and those guys are not on the same page. Same thing. I've seen – where MVS has ran open, seen where Justin Watson has been open. I've seen where guys have been wide open, not just them two. Even Travis Kelce. Are we going to say that Patrick's not looking at Travis Kelce and he's running open? Because I've seen that too, where Patrick hadn't hit him and Travis is wide open. So do I believe that Patrick has lost a little bit of trust in some of the guys? Somewhat. I would say somewhat, but not all the way. I think he understands because he threw a ball to MVS in the last game and didn't connect. So he's not totally off of it. I do believe that sometime reading the coverage and what the defense is giving Patrick, I think Pat is sitting back here trying to figure it all out because they're giving him different looks. And so, like, the Raiders were doing a whole lot of bringing that safety down in the paint. start running a little bit more man, doing a little bit more robber against the tight end. They were doing things that was going to throw Pat off, and it was successful. The one pick that he threw, that he got, the one he got picked, and I was telling about the Justin Watson one, the corner wouldn't, he didn't get out of his back pedal good. He opened up all the way so he could throw, see, he could see the ball. He could see the ball thrown, but Justin Watson didn't do anything to threaten him with speed, like he was going to run past him. So there was no reason for him to open the hips all the way. So he was semi-open. Perfect place for him to be to turn and match the ball to come back. Okay? And Justin Watson, you know, he backed into the route. I watched one where Rashee Rice was running a comeback or a hitch, and he barely pushed the corner. Like, he barely pushed him. Pat's thinking he's going to come back down the stem. You push up, come back down the spin, the stem, right? That's the whole coming back to the football. Catch it with your hand so you can do call separation. And Rashee Rice didn't do any of that. He couldn't get separation because he didn't push the corner off. He didn't push him up the field. Not to extend your arm, but I'm just talking to, like, try to run past him. Make it seem like you're running a go route. But it was none of that. So the corner just sat on it. It almost went the other way. I was looking at this, the Buffalo game, because what I was going to do is I was going to show you examples, send examples of what a check down looks like and what a check down actually is, okay? I think people don't quite understand what check downs are, all right?
We can do that on our Friday betting show.
We can do it on our Friday betting show, but we can go over that the what's the next gen stats?
The next gen look stats. At this,
okay?
Dobbs.
So, look, everything Tay said, man, was factual. It was absolute truth. And so what Tay knows and I know is we understand how long it takes for offensive play to be ran, especially depending on what play it is, okay? And when I say that, I'm talking about the routes, the route combination. We all have a clock in our head as football players in the NFL. We know exactly how long it takes for particular routes and plays that it takes guys to get open or how, you know, where you need to be, right? What you're seeing right here, these green, these are more screens than anything else. These are screens, okay? Or these might be where Pat is actually holding the ball in his hand so long that he has no other chance, choice but to kind of check it down or try to make something done. This is what this is. This last game shows you that. How many times we run the wide receiver screen? These are wide receiver screens, and these are running back screens. This is what this is. And if you could check me on this, but I'm pretty sure that all these one behind the line of scrimmage, that's what that is. That's what that is more so than anything else. Now, if he's checking down because he sees somebody, then good. But usually a check down is maybe catching a back end in a flat or a tight end in the flat or right there over the ball, like real quick. That means he's looking to chuck the ball down the field. You know, he's going through his progression, okay? Number one, number two, check down, okay? He knows where the check down is going to be. Pat has been holding the ball in his hand so long that sometimes he's even get to the check down late. Because now when he takes off running, you know, now he could kind of throw the ball anyway, and that's where he's actually been hurting people when he starts extending the ball, extending the play with his legs. Then he might just check it down to, you know, to CEH or, you know, McKinnon, you know, in the past has been done. But usually a check down comes, you know, Sid Hutt, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, check down, okay? That's what Tom Brady was great at. When we talk about check downs for some of these quarterbacks in the NFL, Tom Brady was great at it because Tom Brady always looked like he was going to go downfield. He always looked like he was going to throw a deep ball. He'll throw a deep ball every once in a while, okay? Just to keep everybody honest, keep everybody on their toes. But you best believe he'll throw a quick little slant or maybe something like a short pass. Short pass is different from a check down, okay? Check downs mean you're going through your progression and then you come to your safety valve. That's what a check down means. So when I'm looking at this right here, these are not check downs. These are without a doubt, screens. And the, you know, the 5 yard that those throws is just, that's probably your first read. That's the easy throw you take. That's what the defense gives you. You throw this ball right here, right? And you see it right now, let it go, let it fly. But there's times in this year that I've seen plenty of times that Pat has not utilized his check down. And check downs are utilized to move the chains. When you're having a problem moving the football, give it to your back to the outside and let him make a move. The check downs give the opportunity to a tight end or running back to be one-on-one with a corner or safety or a linebacker. And I would take my guy, my Joe, against your Joe all day. So I would put and bank my money on McKinnon or Pacheco or CH out in the flat to run past a linebacker and get past him. He'll get 8 yards. And that's what man, Marcus, and we'll do it on Friday, man, because I had like several videos where he did utilize check down and guys got the first down. Because it's all about just moving the chains at this point, right? That's what helps you get into a rhythm. And so if you're not utilizing your check downs because you're trying to throw deep and you're waiting for guys to get open and you're trying to do scramble drill, that's the problem. That's the issue. And so these are things that you have to practice. You got to be able to do this. Matter of fact, I think I talked about this early on in the year. In the season, I was talking about this. That sometimes the scramble drill that you have, like sometimes you just want to extend plays. Sometimes extending plays is just, it's a longer handoff to the guy in the flat.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So this where people, this is short to intermediate passing. But what teams are doing now, what they're playing is they're daring us to throw deep. That's what teams are figuring out at this moment. They want you to throw deep because they're feeling like, well, look, you don't have nobody to throw deep to. We'll take the one-on-one. All right? We'll run man against you all day. And we'll double Kelsey. That's what we'll do. Well, I tell you what, you continue to do that. And I think this is where we have to, you know, this offense has to evolve. It has to evolve into something saying we have to threaten you deep. Okay. I still got to give MVS a couple shots deep. Yeah, I know you dropped one against Green Bay. I get that. Or Philly. I get you dropped one. But dad got it, MVS, I'm going to throw another one to you. I'm going to throw another one to you. Okay? Yeah, we're going to throw some deep ones to Justin Watson. Okay? Now we need to start throwing some to Rice. Rashee Rice, throw some deep ones there. Kadarius Toney. There's other guys we need to throw some depth to. But Cole Harmon get back, we could definitely throw some deep balls to him. So those things have to happen. But when I think this past game, man, look, hats off to the Raiders, man. They had a great defensive scheme. They really did. When I went back and I checked this out, I'm like, yo, they was ready to play us. They were really ready to play us. Not when they're just on their high from that 16, how many points they put up against the Chargers, but they was ready defensively to play against us, and I don't think we were ready for that at all. At all. So Pacheco was just coming back. You could tell he was a little resilient as far as like trying to get hits on his shoulder. I get that, right? And so that was a little tough. But those are those things like check down me. Somebody was some dude trying to explain check down to me. I'm like, are you kidding? You trying to explain check down to me? Man, look. You know what? Sorry.
Was this a conversation on Twitter?
Yes, it was a conversation. Yeah, on Twitter.
I am going to watch
that. And I was like, you know, the initial play, okay, throwing a short pass initially is not a check down. It's not a check down, okay? It isn't. My man Keys, EPA finds its origins all the way back to 1969 to Virgil Carter's, Bill Washington's quarterback behind the invention of the West Coast offense. Northwestern professor Robert Mackles worked together. Okay.
Cool. Very, a little history nugget right there. Yeah, I like that, Keys.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, I can't wait to go watch that. The response you guys had with that Twitter exchange you had with that guy.
Oh man, no, I just hey, but look, I get, you know, the thing was, I think you end up bringing up, it was maybe a different conversation. Somebody's trying to bring up, you know, these people who's been watching film. I'm like, listen, look, I'm gonna take my expertise all day. All right. I know what I have, I know my knowledge of the game. I understand this as a player and as a coach. So I know how guys think, I know how coaches think, I know what the, you know, what we're trying to do, at least. And I think it's maybe where me and Kurt Warner would, you know, we were talking the same thing. Like, we don't know some of these combinations. Like, what's the rule on some of these routes? Okay. Like, every route, there's still rules. Every single route should have a rule to it. Like, if I'm asking for a deep crossing route, I'm telling my guy, hey, listen, I need for you to get across the field over the Mike linebacker, and I need for you to be at least 15 to 20 yards. Okay. 20 to 22 yards, all right? There's a spot I want you to be exactly where the window's going to be, and you got to be able to fill it. This is where we're going to throw the football. Sometimes it just seems to me that some of these, like, there's no rules in it. Like, and I don't know if I'm sure it's being clearly explained. Put it this way, okay? I'm not going to say that it's not being – I'm sure it's being clearly explained to guys, all right? But somehow there it's got to be consistent to do something the exact same all the time. That's how you get good at it. It's like Andy was saying today, like, you just got to keep doing, you just got to keep going to work. You just hope things click, and you got to keep going to the fundamentals. And that's absolutely true. Sorry. Hey, guess what? We don't have an answer for you. I understand you want the answer to, you know, to explain everything, why we having the bad things that we having. I get that. Only thing we can tell you is we're going to go to work. I know y'all want a detailed plan about what it is we need to do offensively to get to where we need to get to, right? So we're going to tell you what we know is the best formula for that. This is the most likely scenario, is we go out to practice, we work on the fundamentals, we work on the route concepts, the catches, the play coming out of the breaks, things that we can control, yes. Other than that, hey, I can come and give you a lot of fluff about what we're going to do. And, you know, we're going to catch 250 balls with this route. And we're going to do this route. We're going to run it 15 times this way. And maybe we'll go ahead and put a dummy coverage on. And we're going to do you can get all of that. Okay. You can have one of the best intentions. You can have the greatest plan. The thing is, guys just got to execute it. That's what it boils down to. We're just looking right there in these next couple of weeks that it boils down to execution. So, yes, getting the ball out of hand, Patrick Mahomes, quick, moving the chains, get into a rhythm is what's going to help, right? Another thing, running the football. It's running football. Let's get on that. Let's not leave the running game out of it. Run the football. Sometimes you got to almost like, hey, look, yeah, I get we only got 2 or 3 yards this one, but maybe the next we're going to break for 6 to 10. So you got to try it. You have to try it. So I just, you know, when we're looking for answers, we're going to keep beating our head over not getting what we want answer-wise from the coaches. That's the frustration. Okay, because what do you want them to tell you? Hey, yeah, guess what? MVS hadn't been doing this all week. That's been the problem. So now what we're going to do, we're going to fix it by using somebody else. Yeah. Yeah, that's maybe what you want to say. That ain't going to do anything for MVS because you still need him. And you might be throwing him under the bus. I don't agree with that philosophy whatsoever. So
the whole check down concept with what Dante talked about, and then when you post the next gen graphics there, and it's like, yeah, it's all screens. And if you look at those Brady teams, and this is something that we've kind of lacked. And I think in many ways, had we used Sky more in this kind of role, which I thought he was going to be like that slot receiver, you know, an extension of the run game, four yards here, 5 yards here, you know, just kind of being that like Wes Welker or Danny Amendola type, which I totally think he can be. Just gonna give more time, but yeah, I mean, the Kevin Faulks of the world, James White's of the world. I mean, the way they use the the concept of the drag route, rub route concepts with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. I mean, those were checkdowns. I mean, that's where they were going with these guys. And it's like, yeah, we don't really have that. It's in the Mahomes era. We haven't really had that. Yeah, McKinnon was utilized a lot out of the backfield last year, screens and some checkdowns. Mm-hmm. But like, we really haven't had like checkdown options in the because it's been mostly screen game stuff and not really checkdown options. And mostly Mahomes not really going for the checkdowns, and that's kind of where he's coming from, being mundane.
Yeah, no, he isn't. And so where he's still waiting for guys to get open. Okay, because he still believes in the play, get it to work. Now he just takes off because he trusts himself. He trusts his own legs. Okay, and so if you do it just to move the chains like a quick takedown, guess what that'll do? That'll make sure the linebackers are covering, saying, "Look, more checkdowns are coming. I got to be right there in the flat to get this tackle." All right. Give a couple check downs, like at your hands real quick. You watch corners and you watch linebackers start coming up a little bit more. And what that does, it opens up that middle for you, okay? That round where that intermediate, where these guys are running, it'd be a different story. It's the same like the running game. Running game does the same thing because you're trying to manipulate the defense to get them doing what you want them to do, all right? So, yeah, short passes, crossing routes, all those different things, shallow crosses. Hey, those linebackers got to play that. It's like, you know, cats watching mice run by. They're trying to hit it. I got to be right here. They know. And so what you do, play high-low. You high-low them. You high-low the linebackers. That's what you do. So it's a game, man. It's an absolute game.
We have a question here from Chris Wright. Chris, appreciate the love, my man. Is this our Al Pacino Chris? Any given Sunday locker room speech moment? God, I hope so. We talk about this being a rock bottom game for our offense to kind of, you know, maybe hopefully this kind of wakes everybody up, splash some cold water on the face this week. Do you think this is our Al Pacino moment for Andy or someone in that locker room to give that game of inches speech?
Yeah, it's definitely that time. Who's going to do it though? That's the question. Is that going to be where Andy comes in and makes that? I think a speech like this has to come from an unlikely source. It has to come from an unlikely source. Maybe a guy that doesn't speak a lot. Okay. Those are always the ones that grab you. You know what I mean? Like you turn around like, oh, I ain't never heard him say anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's like for real, like, oh. And so those are head turners. Those are like one of the motivators to get you going. And so, you know, sometimes it takes that. But I do believe that any given Sunday speech, it's about that time. It is time. It's due. Past due. But yeah, man, these guys are at the moment, at this time, that things have to click. It has to turn around. These next week are vital going into the playoffs. No doubt about it. So,
JD, we got a little Marcus said hi, Jason. Not this Marcus, another Marcus over here.
Oh, little Marcus, that's the prince out there. You tell him I said hello, Marcus, my brother. Yeah. What's up, little Marcus?
It's Marcus.
Yeah, Marcus.
Oh, it's my guy, Marcus. Yeah. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Marcus? Yeah. How you doing, man? If you see me, I'm saying hi to you. All right?
That's my guy.
No, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's just like, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of you said this week. I mean, I feel like it's every week we hear it where it just talks about, like, you know, guys are saying, oh, yeah, we just got to be consistent on both ends of the ball. Well, yeah, I mean, you just keep saying it. And at some point, it's like, all right, let's just – can we get it done on the field? Can that product be out on the field? You know, like, it's just – we hear every press conference, after every game, consistency, consistency, consistency. Mm-hmm. Well, we're waiting for it. And it's like one game you lose, next game you come out, you look like a different team. Like, go from a Green Bay game to New England. A lot of people thought we were going to lose a New England game. We come out and we look phenomenal. Then you have this down game, and it's like, and Pat kind of said it after the game. It's like one win, one loss, one win, one loss, and it's like, you know, I mean, And hopefully, you know, we got two more games till the playoffs. So, like, you can, you know, they always say the teams that are the hottest going into the playoffs are the teams you need to worry about. The teams that limp into the playoffs, those are teams like, yeah, that team's like they're not clicking going into the playoffs. You want to be clicking the right time. So you got two chances here to get a little win streak, get some wind in our sails to get into the playoffs. So,
yeah, no doubt about it. I do believe these guys, you know, they are professionals and they know what's at stake. They know what's at stake more than we do. Okay. And I don't want us to miss that. And so as frustrated as we are, you can imagine the frustration for them. Like I said, this last game, Travis and Patrick were embarrassed. They were embarrassed by the loss. That's why you see them act out the way that they're being acting out. You know, they're upset. They're embarrassed. They don't appreciate what's been going on at the field, and they're not loose. They ain't used to losing. They ain't used to losing. They ain't used to the offense looking this way, Marcus. They not. So it's going to take him to do it, man. So Dan Olaf's key said, Olaf was talking about how PM15 is the only skill player we have on O who is good enough to play in a shotgun offense. So he forgot about Travis, and we need to go under center play action passing game. We should go under center play action passing, you know. And we need to do more of that. I do agree with that, though.
What did you think of the – we didn't really talk about this – the fourth down call.
Where Joe Wood. My man Joe Wood. Joe, what's going on, brother? Go ahead.
Don't worry, guys. You all put up 500 yards against Cincy this weekend. You know what? With the way Mason Rudolph did, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer did, I think Mahomes might break some records this weekend. No, but there was the one play, the fourth and short play, bless you, where it looked like it was going to be a little out route to Richie James, but Mahomes just took it, just booked it up the field. I was a big fan of that play call right there.
Me too. It was very creative, very creative. Because I didn't think it was going to be Pat running the football, but that was perfect. It's a good play caller, and it's going to take the coaches to put guys in the right position too, man. Let's not miss that part of it, okay? The coaches are demanding guys to be, you know, to do well and to perform. They have their part in it as well, Marcus. They got to make sure they put guys in the right position to make plays, calling the right things to make first downs and to advance the football and help his team win. That's a lot on it, man. We won't forget it. I'm not going to put it all on Matt Nagy, but Matt Nagy has some of the blame. And if he's part of it is him not getting some of the rhythm in, Matt, you got to do a much better job, man. Period.
Yeah, period. We always talk about it being coaching and play calling being a collaborative effort, which they talk about all the time. And if that's the case, it's a collaborative effort when they win, and it's a collaborative effort when they lose. So everyone gets a little piece of the pie on that one.
Oh, yeah. That's right. No doubt about it. No doubt about that for sure.
All right, so we're going to go to our final topic here. We got our game picks. So, obviously, it's the rematch of the AFC Championship game from last year. Big one. It's unfortunately, it's not the same. No Joe Burrow, and I don't believe Ja'Marr Chase is going to play. I think they said he's not really likely to play this weekend.
They said he's not likely to?
Not likely to, no.
Okay.
That was the fantasy a little alert I got. The guy I'm playing has Ja'Marr Chase, and he's on his bench right now. So I looked at his little thing. It said, unlikely to play this weekend. I don't think they've ruled him out officially yet, but unlikely to play. So T.K. Higgins will be their guy. And, of course, Burrow's out. So you got Jake Browning manning the ship over there. It's at home, 425. We have Jim Nantz and Tony Romo on the call again in this one. Some Chief fans weren't really happy with the way Tony Romo called this game on Monday. A lot of Chief fans I saw online said they muted their TV and listened to Mitch Holthus's radio call instead of listening to Romo, which Romo has some good comments, but yeah, it can't be.
I like Romo. I actually like Romo's comments a lot because he's football savvy, knows what he's talking about. And from a player standpoint, I love it because he's dissecting the play. He sees it. Yeah. I like Romo. I like him a lot.
Yeah. He's a fine guy. I mean, I guess sometimes the dad jokes that he sometimes has on, but I mean, it's fine. You know, these guys have to be kind of lively with it they can't be, you know, stoic and statues.
Maybe I don't hear that part of it. I just hear when they get into the play and he starts talking.
Yeah, you're locked in on the
end. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Chiefs 7-point favorite at home. 425 on New Year's Eve. So hopefully the guys can get a, a win and clinch the AFC West going into 2024. So, JD, who do you have in this one, and what's your prediction for this one?
So, obviously, I have the Chiefs winning. I do. And so, I have the score, considering Ja'Marr Chase is not going to be playing. I have it the score 28-14.
Okay. Well, you have a 4-touchdown Mahomes performance, or you got some Pacheco in there?
I get Pacheco. Get a couple, you know, 2 passing, 2 rushing. That's the way it's going to come out. That's what's like going to happen. Yep. 28-14, Chiefs.
Yeah, that's 42 points. So the over-under in the game is 44.5 points. So, JD, you have it a little bit below.
Okay. All right.
Let me see here. I just want to – usually I like doing this to see what the public percentage is right here. So on DraftKings, it says about 83% of the bets are on the Chiefs. I'm just curious to see what the public money is on this one. Okay. But, yeah, no, I like 28-14. You think it's a handily from top to bottom kind of game?
I think so. I think they're going to seem like they're going to be in it, and we're going to come and, you know, probably score a couple of in the third quarter, maybe fourth, and then kind of run the football a little bit more. So I might even give them 28-17, but they don't have Ja'Marr Chase. 2014 is good. 17 might come out, but I think 14 looks like it. That's where it will be.
So it looks like 60% of the money is on – is on Cincinnati to cover the 7 points, 60% of the money.
Okay.
It's not on the red range. Usually when it's 70-30, that's when you're like, ooh, okay, that's 70% of the money's on one side. So, yeah, looking at the latest on Ja'Marr Chase, I'm seeing someone here say Chase is not labeled in the report. Looking at their report as of 2 o'clock today from RotoWire, Ja'Marr Chase was working with trainers, isn't practicing Wednesday. He's working out on the rehab field with training staff, according to the Cincinnati Inquirer reports. So, yeah, Chase missed Saturday's loss to the Steelers and is in danger of missing Sunday's game at Kansas City, though Coach Zach Taylor said Wednesday that the wideout is making progress. So, I guess, as of right now, yeah, not practicing, but working with the trainers. I don't know. What do you think when you hear that report, JD? He tried to tough it out last week, but they said he wasn't ready yet.
Oh, man, it's too early to make that decision. When you start talking like this, that could be anywhere. That could be up in the air. So, and it might fully know where, if he is or not going to play. So, I ain't going to let you know right now. They don't want you getting ready. They don't want you scheming that.
Yeah. So up until the final minute, they're going to let you think, even if he's not playing, they're going to let you think he's going to play.
Yeah. It happens all the time.
And with Pacheco's concussion, are you not – I mean, you've been a big CH guy this whole year, so you're still – even if Pacheco doesn't play with a concussion, he's still protocol, you're fine with riding with CH? You're not scared about that?
No, not at all. He's shown the last 2 weeks, or to me all year, I haven't lost confidence in CH at all. I think if anything, he's been a real bright spot for us, you know, when Pacheco has been out, and he's shown us. So,
getting a question here. What is the weather supposed to be at game time? Anyone? John Clifford, looking at the hourly forecast, looks like it's going to be no rain, just cloudy, and about 34 degrees. So, I'd be freezing my ass off in that one. 34 and clear.
34 and clear?
34 and clear. Right, game time. Yeah, so I'd be bundled up. I'd layer up, JD.
I hear you. I see a lot of comments over on the side, man. I'm just kind of looking at some of these comments.
We got a lot of people in the room here tonight.
Yeah. Wonderful to see everybody.
Love it.
Holly, I think the coaches are who they are at this point. Sad to say, but I don't see a lot of doing better in the immediate future. Well, they need to do better because it's coming up on them for our team going in the right direction on them doing better. Calling better plays. So if they ain't on it and doing better, they better get better. And that means they had to burn the midnight oil. Get it done. Those guys can do it. If anybody does it, those guys can get in there and do it. They can scrap the plays. They go all the film. If anything, those guys get our guys prepared better than what they have been doing, put it that way. So,
yeah, let's get into that time's closing time, JD.
That's right. Flatjack City, ain't no way we win it by 7. What? Come on, brother. No better than that.
especially coming off a loss in the humiliating fashion at home, a bounce back game at home. I think, I mean, there's a reason why 60% of the money's on Cincinnati to cover the 7 points. No one thinks we can do that. So everyone's got the same logic as you. I think big time bounce back spot this week. So stay tuned for the betting show. You're going to hear some big time Mahomes numbers from me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, that does it for us, guys. Thanks for tuning in to Chief Concerns, our little live stream, our preview of week 17 against the Cincinnati Bengals. You'll be hearing from us again Friday night, 7 o'clock for our betting show. So everyone tune in, all the new viewers we got, the new subscribers, come on down to our betting show. JD's going to apparently give us a little tutorial on what a checkdown is for all the people who were trying to argue with the guy on Twitter, apparently. So I can't wait to get that little tutorial on a checkdown.
Yeah. We just kind of go through it. It's not a huge deal. It just because it takes timing. It's timing in the checkdown, right? It's just you don't do it all the time. So it's timing, decision making, all those different things. Like I said, and when you're going through a clock in your head, you know the quarterback knows he always knows his safety valve, his outlet is going to be, right? That's what a checkdown is. He's always fully aware what that checkdown will be. Okay, you always get him out of that rocking a hard place. So appreciate everybody coming in, man, seeing us. Thank you so much for all the people that was donating us money, man. We love it. Yeah.
We want to wish everybody, if you guys don't tune in for our show on Friday or Sunday after the game, I know everyone's got plans and stuff. We're going to have a really quick show after the game on Sunday because everyone's got New Year's plans. We're going to try to get that done. But I want to wish everyone who doesn't tune in to the next two shows live, Happy New Year's. And we love you guys. We're going to be coming at you guys with more great stuff in the new year. But really, it's been a really fantastic year. This football season has been great. You guys have been awesome.
Yes, it has. All right. Thank you all. Love you all. Y'all take care. Appreciate it.
Have a good night, everybody. Love you, JD. Hope you feel better, buddy.
You too, my brother. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.